I give God thanks and praise for this day and for this opportunity to stand before you, God's people. Hear the word of the Lord coming from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all have this hope, and all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins, and no one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day and for your continued expressions of loving kindness towards us. We thank you, Lord God, that we have your word to lead us, to guide us, to correct us, and to protect us. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together will be acceptable unto you. For you are our strength, our rock, our redeemer. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Every one of us has an image of who we are. Some of us characterize ourselves as intelligent, powerful, bright, independent, lovable, kind, and or strong. The positive adjectives we assign to ourselves are plentiful and sometimes immeasurable. Yet some people are not quite as generous and don't see themselves in a positive light. They consider themselves to be lacking and describe themselves as weak, ineffective, dull, not very smart, powerless, dependent, and unlovable. The Word of God tells us that so a person thinks in their heart, so they are. You might say that what we think or say about ourselves, or in some cases what others say about us and release into our psyche, defines who we are. And it often becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. There are times when we look outside of ourselves for definition. We look to others for validation, and in some relationships, rightfully so. Every child is entitled to parents that love them unconditionally, appropriately encourage and discipline them, and make provisions for them to be their very best, to set high expectations and to support them in whatever their positive pursuits in life might be. Every married couple should be able to expect a spouse that is supportive, encouraging, respectful, loving, forgiving, faithful, and kind. And in the workplace, we have the expectation that we will be treated fairly, respectfully, professionally, and compensated appropriately and adequately. However, when we become obsessed with how others see us, how others define us, what they think about us, we may find ourselves trying to keep up appearances, pretending to be something or someone other than who we are. And we may become dogged by and beholden to an image that has been created and implanted within us, yet not who we truly are or were created to be. Allowing others to define us has kept many of us in bondage for years. The person who pretends to be straight for fear of the consequences of being who they were created to be. The person who stays in an abusive relationship because from all outward appearances, they are in a wonderful and supportive marriage or partnership. The professional who continues in a lucrative career even though their true passion lies elsewhere. And the person who is about to go bankrupt, living above their means in order to impress others. When we allow others to define us, they control us. I sometimes share with my sons that it doesn't matter what someone calls you. What matters is what you answer to. Brothers and sisters, if we allow the world to label us, no matter where you come from or how far you go, there will always be someone who wants to keep you exactly where God has brought you from. Somebody ought to say amen about that. The younger generation calls people like this haters. But I stand here today and declare that yes, the haters are alive and well, but we can shake them off. Because in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away and everything has become new. The author of 1 John states that we are the children of God, beloved. No matter who we are or who others say that we are, in the sight of God, we are God's children and we are beloved. Not because of anything that we have done, not because we are worthy, and not because we are sinlessly absolute. 1 John 1:8, chapter 1:8 states, if we say that we are without sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not within us. But he goes further to state that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, we are the children of God because God has declared it so. Did you all hear that? We are the children of God because God has declared it so. It is not by our choice, our actions, our goodness, or our accomplishments, but because God the Father loves us. God's love is that of a parent who created us, knows all about us, and wants nothing but the absolute best for us, and has given us a perfect example to emulate. Just as we possess the characteristics of our earthly parents, be it our mother's nose or our father's hands or our grandparents' mannerisms, the very Spirit of God is within us and we have an innate nature to be kind, loving, merciful, faithful, forgiving, long-suffering, sinless, but not in and of ourselves. It is only through our relationship with God, the Father, through the Son, that we are made righteous. Even though God's nature has been imparted to those of us that put our faith and belief in Jesus Christ, we are not yet complete. Already God's child, yet in the process of becoming all that God created us to be. For you see, it does not yet appear what we shall be, the writer of 1 John states. The fulfillment of what it ultimately means to be the children of God will be realized in days to come in an eschatological event when Jesus appears. We shall be like him, complete, transformed, perfected, holy, righteous, and changed. Some of us have acquiesced and accepted the labels and title that society and others have put on us. You see, sometimes they call us addicts, good for nothing, lazy, slacker, homeless, criminal, uneducated, worthless, unloved, unstable, poor, ill-prepared. And often we work very hard at keeping up those negative appearances because we become comfortable in them. And when we're comfortable, there is no need to do any better. There aren't any expectations that we will do so. And then on the opposite end of that, some of us take pride in the titles and positions we have acquired through our own efforts and hard work. You see, we're educated, victorious, movers and shakers, the cream of the crop, executives, the 1%, liberal, conservative, tolerant, intolerant, charitable. Now, none of these things are bad in and of themselves. We are taught that we should work diligently. But sometimes it's an illusion to keep up appearances of being successful. I'm reminded that achievement of any type without the acknowledgement that God has kept us and made it possible is hollow. It is a clanging cymbal. It is without substance. How we shall appear when Christ comes shapes our living in the presence and means that we continually strive to live along the grain of God's promises and intent. Those who are God's children, the Word of God tells us, will be pure and righteous, just as Jesus is. The phrase "just as" can mean in the same way as or because, and in this case we acknowledge both. What we will be may not be known in its fullness yet, but by God's grace we see our future in Jesus, and this future already has a transformative effect in the present for those who are God's children. Already, but not yet. When we search ourselves to determine the appearances that we are keeping, I'm reminded of Moses, a man called by God to lead the Israelites out of bondage. You see, Moses saw himself as being inadequate, powerless, lacking the ability to fulfill the call that God had upon his life. And he asked God, "When I go to Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me?" And God replied, "I am who I am sent you. I will be who I will be sent you." Beloved of God, likewise, we shall be who we shall be. And it does not yet appear who we shall be. But in the meantime, I am reminded that we are the head and not the tail. We are the salt of the earth. We are a jewel in God's crown, and we are precious in God's sight. We are able to cast mountains into the sea. We are righteous, faithful, and just, kind, generous, long-suffering, meek, humble, and kind-hearted. We are not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for we are a royal priesthood, and we are more than conquerors, pure and righteous, and able to do all things through Christ Jesus. That's who we are. Now let's get busy keeping up the appearance of being who God says we are. God's children, redeemed, sanctified, justified, and beloved. Now those are appearances that are worth keeping up. Amen? Amen. Amen.
It is your love, O God Almighty, and merciful, your love in Jesus Christ that has brought us here today. Your love that gathers us together again and again. We can't resist it. It surrounds us. It touches us in so many ways. We just have to come and praise you, worship you, thank you. And we want to thank you today for all those whose lives give us love, whose faith has nurtured our faith, whose words and actions give us hope, who work for peace. And we also bring before you those who are starved for love, who have forgotten joy,
yes, God,
who have no hope, who have never known peace. We bring before you, Lord God, those whose patience has been an example to us, whose kindness has made us better, whose goodness has warmed the world. And we bring before you also those who long to be more patient, those who know no kindness in their loneliness, in their illness, in their addiction, in their prisons. We bring before you those whose gentleness has made us more gentle, whose self-control has worked for reconciliation and harmony. And we also bring before you those who suffer when others are not gentle. Battered spouses and children, victims of violence, victims of bigotry. And we bring before you this community that we might be woven together by your Spirit ever more closely. That we might experience the strength and delight that come from serving you together and turning the world upside down together. Help us to be great encouragers, committed to each other's growth, to be there for each other as you are there for us, praying for each other, as Jesus prayed for us. In his name, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.